Okay, the appropriate way to, I think, begin this seminar is with prayer, so let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I just want to praise you tonight that you're a holy, omnipotent, powerful God. And I praise you for the fact that you're interested in every detail of our lives. And Lord, even tonight, I just want to thank you for an opportunity to share some of the truth and some of the insight that you've given me in the last few years on prayer. And Father, I thank you that ahead of time, you just prepared me in some very supernatural ways that I would just like to share with this group tonight. And Father, I want to give you all the glory for this time. And I pray that the name of Jesus would be uplifted and that the cause of Jesus would be promoted here tonight. And that no man or no program would be promoted, but just Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you so much for the power in prayer. I thank you for how you've demonstrated that power in many of our lives. And I thank you, Lord, that you're beginning to help me to see that the key to an effective ministry is an effective prayer life. And Father, I know that many of these are coming to that same conclusion. Or they wouldn't even be here tonight. So I pray that tonight, Father, that your hand would be upon this time. I pray that you would give us wisdom and insight, and that, Lord, you would speak to each one of us according to our need. I thank you tonight, Lord, that you are going to specifically and directly meet requests and give answers to prayer. We trust you to do that tonight, Father. We trust you just to very really tonight manifest yourself among us. Thank you for what you're going to accomplish, Father. We commit this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. To begin with, to begin the time tonight, I'd just like to share the fact that everything that I share with you tonight is things that I've either learned from other people or from the Lord, and so I don't take any personal credit for anything that I share with you tonight. Much of what I've learned is from two particular sources, one being my pastor, Peter Lord, and the other being a man that I've never heard of before, but I've just been learning from him in the last 2 weeks. And his name is Armin Geschwin, and he has a school of prayer. It's called the International Intercessors. And some of the things I've learned from him the last few weeks have revolutionized my prayer life. And I'd just like to share a few of the insights that he's given to me. But the title of this seminar is How to Establish a Prayer Ministry in Your Local Church. That's what I want to major on tonight, so I won't delve into the personal prayer life very heavily. If you've been going to Dr. Price's seminars in the morning on quiet time, he has given you some great insights into prayer and personal prayer life. Last year I heard his section on time alone with God, and it revolutionized my personal prayer life. It gave me great new insights and was very helpful to me in my personal prayer life. So I'd really encourage you to apply all that you hear during those sessions in the morning and really seek to put them into your own personal prayer life. To begin with, I'm going to go over a diagram with you and just try to piece it together as we go on a philosophy for prayer life development in the local church. And one thing I would like to say to begin with is that there's great power in assembled prayer. One of the things I see as problems in the church today is we have very little assembled prayer. And when we do have assembled prayer, it's not always for a specific area. We kind of shotgun it. And from what I've seen of the Bible and successful praying, is that most successful praying uses a rifle approach to praying. They pray for a specific area in an assembled meeting. And the most effective prayer meetings I've been involved in have done that kind of praying. There's been assembled praying in for a specific area of need. Thank you. So to begin with, we're going to talk about the fact that to establish an assembled prayer life, it must begin with personal devotional prayer life. And that's the first step on our diagram tonight, is personal worship and prayer life. Now, I don't care how many good programs you have, without this, without personal worship and prayer life in the lives of the members of your congregation, the corporate prayer will never be successful. The first step in any prayer ministry is to motivate first yourself and then the members of the congregation to personal worship and prayer life. I think one of the reasons that we've seen some stirring things begin to happen in prayer in our church is because our pastor has committed himself to personal worship and prayer life from 4 a.m. in the morning until about 6:30, and has a tremendous personal worship and prayer time with God. And a lot of, he says that his chief experiences with God have come out of that time that he spends alone with God in the morning. His personal worship and prayer life. And that's the beginning stage of any type of corporate ministry of prayer that you're going to build. If you're unsuccessful in motivating your people to have personal worship and prayer life, then your corporate ministry of prayer will not be successful. Now, I would suggest, as you can see, I brought something that I hope you notice while we're here. A very helpful guide to personal prayer is the 2959. And I don't share that just because my pastor's written it. I share it because after using it for 3 years in my own personal life, I've seen the effects of it. I've seen the value of it. And to be honest with you, it's the first time I've ever been able to say, here is an answered prayer. I've had answered prayer before that time, but I never recorded it. I never kept a record of it. And as a result, many of the things that God has done in my life have gone by the wayside in my memory. And you say, oh, I can never forget the way God moved. But you'd be surprised how much you forget of what God's done in your life, especially when trials come along. And it's very important that you keep a record of the way of things that God does in your life, of requests that you make. Then when God answers, you have a record. And you can say, here's what God has done. And it gives an authenticity to your prayer life that I've never experienced before until I became disciplined in this. Now, if you don't use one of these, I would recommend that you get something similar to where you keep a daily record for your own personal prayer life. And you begin to learn how to praise the Lord, how to use Scripture in your prayer life, just ways that you can develop your personal worship. That's why the 2959 is helpful, is because it enriches your personal worship and it gives you an order to your praying that most people don't have naturally, unless they're just geared that way. So, once again, I would stress that personal worship and prayer life is a place any prayer ministry has to begin. People must be motivated to build up their own personal worship and prayer time. There are several books that are helpful on this. I'm not going to go into great detail in giving you books. I am going to give you one source, this International Intercessors that I was telling you about. I'll give you the address of that at the close of the time we're together. But they have a list, a bibliography of books on prayer, that if you write them, they'll send you that. And it has all the best-known books I know on prayer and personal worship. Okay. The other part of praying in regard to personal worship and prayer life, other than, say, devotional prayer involves fellowship with God, praise thanksgiving, confession, waiting, listening, petition, and personal interest intercession, such as one's own family. That's devotional prayer. Okay? What I'm giving you now is the two aspects of personal worship and prayer life. Devotional praying and intercessory or warfare praying. Those are the two areas. Devotional prayer involves fellowship with God through such things as praise, thanksgiving, confession, waiting, listening, petition, and personal interest intercession. And that personal interest intercession involves praying for yourself and for your family. One of the big lies that I had in the back of my mind when I first developed a personal prayer life was that I wasn't supposed to pray for myself, that that was selfish. I don't believe that. That's a lie. The most important person in your life is you. And if you don't make it in the Christian life, you can't pray for others to make it in the Christian life. So don't feel you're being selfish by praying for yourself. I find that when I pray for myself, I have a much better peace about praying for others after I spent time in intercession and devotional prayer for myself. Then intercessory warfare prayer is interceding before God on behalf of other people and making battle with the enemy for the welfare of their souls. There's several examples of this in the Bible. I'll just give you one. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 26 and 27, where Moses interceded for the children of Israel. He did warfare before God for the children of Israel against the evil one, praying for the welfare of their souls. Alright, now, once the personal worship and prayer life is established in the life of the believer, then there needs to be an expansion of that. And there's two ways that this expands, two basic areas that this will expand into. One is in the area of family prayer. And the other is in the area of group praying. The reason I include family prayer in here is because many times pastors get involved in praying with the people in their church, and they forget one vital link in their prayer life. It's not just their personal prayer. It's not just praying with the people in their church. It's praying with their own family. Praying with their partner. Praying with their children. Spending time in real earnest prayer in this area. Now, let me just share the first part of family prayer is partner praying. And my pastor said that for him, this is the simplest form of family prayer and the most effective. I'm still learning how to pray with my partner. I've only been married about a year. And we're just beginning to establish an effective prayer life together. My personal prayer life is much stronger than my partner prayer life. And it's been a struggle to maintain it, to be honest with you. I found that I have to fight for time to pray with my wife. I have to make time to do it. I have to set aside a night in my schedule every week to spend time praying with her and really being able to share needs and to pray together. We do have a time each morning at breakfast that has been a good time together, but it's very limited and very short because of the time factor I have in being to work. So I found I had to set aside a night where we spend time together, enriching our own personal lives and praying together. And it's been very helpful in uniting us in the Lord. So partner praying can be should be a very vital part of family prayer, and probably the most effective part. And then after you you develop that, you would also want to have a, in regard to family prayer, the family altar. And this is a time where the family comes together to worship and pray together. They pray not only for each other, but they also pray for other people that are involved in their lives. One of the great things here is training your children to pray for their authorities and people over them, to pray for their school teachers, to pray for their Sunday school teachers. Just little simple things in regard to family prayer that can really train up a child in regard to praying, that are vital in the prayer life for the child, to begin to give him a real vision for realizing that God is in charge of the people over him. It's one of the most effective ways to avoid having a rebellious child is to teach him to pray for his authorities, to teach him to pray for those over him, and to lift them up to the Lord and realize that God's in charge of their life, and to long to see them, you know, be all that they can be before God. And this, by the way, all forms of family prayer should involve the same basic ingredients as you have in your personal prayer life. The praise, the thanksgiving, the petition, all of these should be involved, yes, should be involved in family prayer as well as in personal prayer. Your personal prayer, your family prayer should only be an extension of your personal prayer life. Okay, now? Ideally, I think it would be nice to have a daily family altar. In some situations, that wouldn't be practical. I think you ought to start at some place that might be reasonable for you. You might need to start out with one day a week. That might be a beginning place for you. I think it's very profitable for a family to be able to begin the day with prayer together. And it's one thing that does, is it shows the children and the people involved in that family that prayer is a priority in their lives. It's not an option, it's a priority. And as soon as you could establish that, I think it would be wise. That's really bad. You have anything you'd share there?
Just share from Miles' experience, seminar that he was leading this morning. He was saying that as a result of having a lot of breakfasts in the morning with men, and he uses his early morning times a lot with people, and his family, of course, is older now, and it was tough to get them together. And so they have set up one night a week. But that night is Monday night for him, and it's quality night. I mean, they spend the whole night, evening, they have a big supper together, and then they go into their family time. And it's something they work at, you know, with different projects and different ways to involve people. And but that they have it as one time a week. And for him, he said that was more effective than trying to, just a hassle of getting together with such a divergence of schedules and have real quality that one night.
All right, then as we move on from family altar, you go to parent-child praying. This is where the parent spends individual time with the child to pray with them. This is a time where the parent would be teaching the child to pray, teaching him the principles of prayer and helping him to see how to practice those principles. But parent and child praying is an important part of this. Yeah, I messed up my diagram a little bit. That's all right. I'm going to add another one in here that I think kind of ties in with family altar and what we've been talking about. I forgot how to spell. that's supposed to be meaningful. Meaningful meal prayers. One of the biggest hang-ups I had when I first became a Christian was to go into a home and to eat with Christian people, and they would do this little thing, God is great, God is good, thank you for this food, amen. And it wasn't a child doing that. It was the father of the family. And that's every time I went to the home, it was the same thing. And I really believe that one of the key things in showing the family that prayer is not just a ritual is to develop meaningful meal prayers. Meal times ought to be a special time in the family. It ought to be a time where the family comes together to realize God's provision, to realize, you know, how faithful God has been to them. I think meal times can be a real key time to develop a meaningful prayer life, and I think it has to start, of course, with the personal prayer life of the family leader, which would be the father. But I think as you try to make those times meaningful, there are many prayer promises. There's this little what do they call those little things? A little loaf of bread with the scripture verses in. You can pull these things out and let each of the family read a prayer promise and maybe share how that prayer promise relates to them and what, you know, some way they see that meant something special to them. And then for the father to lead in prayer, I think that ought to be an intimate time. If you can hold hands around the table, I think that would be another way to stress the intimacy and the unity of the family as they seek God together. There are just many ways that I think that can be developed into a real meaningful time in prayer. And I think this will do a lot to add to your family praying. Anybody else have any insights? Maybe something you do with your family as you pray together at mealtime that you think would be helpful?
I have a 5-year-old daughter. I let her pray sometimes for all of us. It's incredible, the things that she says. It's unbelievable. You know, the insights out of the mouths of children. You know, children haven't had their spirit and their mind, will, and emotions distorted. So you can really get a clear picture of God that way a lot of times.
Right. I think another prayer time in your family is bedtime children.
Right. That would come under parent-child praying. I didn't mention that. I appreciate you sharing that.
Bedtime prayers.
Okay. Yes.
Like a parent-child, is teaching a child those repetition kind of prayers, would that be a good or a bad kind of habit to build into children? Now laying down to sleep.
I think it's all right for a child to learn those prayers. I don't think it's wise to encourage them to pray those consistently. Mm-hmm. Repetitious prayers have little or no meaning over a period of time. And I know, even for myself, if I begin to coin a phrase when I'm praising God, if I begin to pick up on a phrase and just keep using it repetitively, pretty soon it loses all meaning for me. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's wise to teach a child repetitious prayers. Yes.
I'd like to ask something. I'm having a 5-year-old. Before she's in kindergarten this year, and believe it or not, they're teaching their prayers in school. This is a public school, which I'm thankful for.
Wow.
But I think it's a bold, you know. But the thing of it is she's learned these rote prayers now. And so I'm having to work with her to get out of that, to go back to her. The prayers that she was doing before were, you know, far superior, you know, because they were really coming from her heart. And so I had to work with her. And I don't criticize the teacher for doing it, because I'm really thankful she has that kind of teacher.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It hasn't helped her at all learn to really pray. And she's been praying it since she was three.
That's a good example. One of the ways I would suggest, John, that might be helpful there, one of the things we've done is we each pray for a different character quality in each person's life. We've got this little character clues game from Bill Gothard with the cards, with the meanings of different character traits. And we read those at our meal times and pray for those qualities in one another's lives. And so whoever leads the prayer, for instance, say, I'm leading the prayer, I pray for my life that I would develop the quality of humility, let's say. And, well, this month I'm praying for orderliness in my life. I keep the same quality for a month. And I'm praying for that quality. So whoever leads in the prayer, they pray for the qualities of the other members of the family. Now, this gets a little difficult for a child if you got 7 or 8 members in your family. But usually, you know, in a small family, that's very easy to do. And plus, we let them look at the cards so they would know, you know, how to pray for each individual. Say, if we've got 6 or 8 people involved in our meal, they would look at the cards and pray for that person in regard to what their quality was. And sometimes if you can set their mind on something else besides, you know, the rote prayer, like a character quality or something, they're praying specifically for another person. That's helpful. You know? And then also, when you share a prayer request, if I realize now for a 5-year-old that might be difficult for her to catch, but, you know, if you learn to share a prayer request and then, you know, ask her to pray, you know, say for that specific request. Sometimes that's helpful. Okay. Now, let's move from there into group prayer. Anybody have any question on family praying? Any other additions there? Okay, I think the best place to begin, let me just share this. I've kind of messed this up, but out this way, from your personal worship and prayer life, there should be a strong channel into the two areas that I mentioned, devotional and warfare, intercessory prayer. These should be the two, one of the principal channels in this area for your personal worship and prayer life. It should lead into that devotional and warfare praying. I didn't include that earlier. Now, one of the best ways to begin effective church praying is to establish meaningful prayer at all church meetings. This is one of the big drawbacks I've seen in most Southern Baptist churches I've been in, is prayer is kind of tacked on at the beginning and at the end. And it's not really given meaning or sustenance, or sometimes doesn't even relate to what's going to take place in the meeting. And so I think one of the key things that you can begin to do is to establish a meaningful prayer time at each of the church meetings. And of course, the place that has to begin is with meaningful personal prayer. Again, it relates back to someone's personal prayer life. If they develop a meaningful personal prayer life, it'll be much more effective when they pray in church meetings. It's a good place to begin a prayer emphasis, is trying to develop a meaningful prayer through the meetings. But it'll never be any stronger than the individuals who know how to pray and communicate with God. Your prayer at your church meetings will never be any stronger than the people involved who know how to pray and how to communicate with God. One of the things that I think is a real fallacy in the church today is calling on people to pray just to involve them. I think if you're going to call on someone to pray, you ought to call on the best prayer warrior you know in your church. Call on somebody that can really pray heaven down. And if you only got one person in your church, man, call them in and pray every time. You know, I think it's really important I think one of the ways the people begin to catch a vision is by hearing meaningful prayer in church meetings. One of the people that have had a real powerful influence on my life is a girl who's in seminary right now. And I'll never forget the first time I ever heard her pray. She could literally pray heaven down. And I never fail to walk out of a time of prayer with her that I didn't feel like I'd been right in the presence of God. And if you have someone in your church like that, you know, don't be afraid to call on them often to pray. And what it'll do is it'll begin to instill a vision and a heart desire in those people that are Christians to develop their prayer life and to learn how to pray. I used to go to her and ask her, what are you doing? What do you do in your prayer life? What do you do to develop your prayer life? Tell me how you pray. Because I knew she had something I hadn't even touched on. There's also an African boy who's living in our church and going to school over here in America, who's never had any formal education. He's 27 years old. And he also is one of these type of people. He has a real touch with God in his prayer life. And I'll never forget the first time he stood up before our congregation and led in prayer. It was literally a shock to the people because of the power of his prayer. And he's 27 years old, has never had a formal education, never had any kind of education really, and came over here and took some high school aptitude test, and he tested out in the 12th grade in every subject except American history. And in American history, he tested out in the 11th grade. So, and he never had a course in it. So he's a unique individual, but very powerful in his prayer. And God has used a few people like that in my life to really give me a spark and a desire to grow my ability to seek the Lord through prayer. And one of the things I've noticed about these people who have a powerful prayer life is they've learned how to pray the promises of God. And I think a person who develops an effective prayer life gets past their own wishes and desires and begins to learn how to pray the promises of God. And that's what faith is all about. What do you believe in? You believe in what God has promised. And that's the kind of prayer that moves not only people to action, moves God to action. So, meaningful prayer at church meetings are real important. And I found this thing all up.
I just put church meetings on here. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'll give you a good diagram here in a few minutes.
Okay. Now, in regard to developing prayer within the local body, I think another important principle here is group prayer. And I put the general area of group prayer because all of these involve some form of group praying. But I think there's a need in the church today for some groups that meet solely for the purpose of prayer. I find I go to many groups today where prayer is, like I said, tacked on. And there's a need for some place in your church life where there are groups who meet totally for the purpose of prayer. And I don't mean the Wednesday night prayer meeting if it's a sermon and a, you know, tacked on prayer at the end. I mean a time where people come together for group prayer. One of the most effective things I found in working with the youth staff at my church is that this year we've committed 30 minutes every day to spending time together and praying for specific things in the youth ministry, specific areas. And we lift up that day to the Lord and pray for the activities that are going to be going on that day. And ask God to give a special anointing for each of those things. 30 minutes in prayer. I've been in the situation I've been in for four years now in the church. And I've done essentially the same thing all 4 years. The same kind of program. We've used the basic reach out strategy and ministry for 4 years in the church that I've been in. But this year is the first year I've really seen a true joy explosion. A real movement of God. And you know what? It's not because I've changed the program. The program has not changed. There's one difference. It's everything we do is saturated with prayer. Every part of our ministry this year has been saturated with prayer. And I've seen the difference. I've seen the power of God in meetings where before there was just going through the motions of ministry. And prayer is a thing, is that I believe a key element to change the life of the church. If a congregation can learn how to pray and touch God, they'll see fruit that remains.
Let me ask you this about George Wilson. Sometimes in hours, the prayer gets so deep and involved, sometimes just a request just comes, you know, there's no time for anything else. You know, you sing two or three choruses, maybe four, get down to the point of praying, and in 30 minutes can go just like that. You know, is that something that I should remain with and just give up on, kind of the Bible study? I only have an hour.
For your joy exposure?
You know, yeah. And I know it's supposed to be more than that, but that's all at this point I can get for me.
That's all I have. That's all I have is an hour.
Well, do you spend a great deal of time in prayer?
No.
You don't?
The purpose of joy explosion, I say none. We have prayer at the beginning, but... yeah, right.
For the invitation, you know.
But let me just tell you what we found. What we established was the purpose of Joy Explosion was to draw the lost and to win lost people to Christ. And so I do not use the Joy Explosion time for personal prayer requests. What we do is at 5 o'clock on Wednesdays, we have a time for the faithful youth who want to be involved in praying and lifting up the ministry to meet together. We meet at the prayer chapel at 5 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon. And we ask them to set aside Wednesday nights as a time that they would fast and spend in working with the youth ministry. And we have about... what do you say, Susan? 15 to 20 usually? Usually about 15 to 20 young people and youth teachers who come to that time, and for 1 hour we spend time in prayer for specific requests relating to Joy Explosion and relating to the schools and the ministry in the schools, praying for teachers, praying for students, praying for people we know are coming that we'd like to see saved, praying for the speaker, praying specifically for that time on Wednesday night, praying for the time where we will go out witnessing. And then from 6 to 7:30, we go out and share with people in the community. And then at 7:30, we have Joy Explosion from 7:30 to about, we go to about 8:45. We have about 1 hour and 15 minutes.
When you pray specifically for the needs of your kids who have needs, do they have to write that down and give it to you?
No, we do it during that time, during that hour of prayer. We pray. And also, occasionally, during at the end of Joy Explosion, we have a card that they fill out. And if they have a specific prayer request, we have them write it on the bottom of the card and turn it in. And also, we tell them, you know, if they'd like to have specific prayer, that they're welcome to come at that time. Yes.
Something else I did with that was we used the card idea, and I really tried to build that as strong as I knew how to build that, to say that you know, this is not just for a writing exercise, but we really will pray specifically for that. And I would keep those cards, and you know, I may keep them two or three weeks, be praying over them, and at different times I would mail them back to the kid with a note and to say something, you know, I've been praying for you specifically about such and such. And, you know, after a period of weeks to send them that info back, I found it would be a real encouragement to them.
Did you ever ask them to report to you on answered prayer? You know, if you were praying with them, had a covenant.
Some, more specifically with their touch leaders and discipleship leaders, you know, that as we prayed together, we talked about the kids and where their needs were, and they were together, and they kind of communicated back and forth on that, more so than with me specifically.
The reason I shared that with you, John, is because I feel like the purpose of Joy Explosion is to reach the lost. And you will tend to kill Joy Explosion in terms of its purpose if you have that kind of time devoted to prayer. At least that's what I found in my particular ministry. My objective there is to have a large group of kids drawn in for a time where the gospel is shared and they have an opportunity to be saved. Now, the first 2 or 3 years I was in Titusville, it didn't work that way. But to be honest with you, this year is the first time we're really beginning to see an effective Joy Explosion ministry. But it's not of anything I've done. It's because the kids have caught a vision for bringing their friends and seeing them come to Christ in the meetings. And that's been really exciting to me. And again, in relation to this, what I've been sharing about the youth ministry, one of the most effective things I've done in the last year is to give my congregation a handle on how they can pray for my ministry. What I've done there is we made up a sheet on the youth ministry, a prayer sheet that we handed out that would fit into the 2959. It already had holes punched and everything. And it had four specific things that they could be praying for the youth ministry. And I really believe that was a turning point in the youth ministry in our church. It's when they begin to pray specifically. And I know of the adults that from that time, they prayed specifically for the youth ministry. And they begin to really get behind us in terms of their prayer life. And I've seen from that time, since we did that, to now, we've seen more kids saved than we saw in the 2 years previous. Simply because of the burden of those people. You know, and it wasn't that they didn't want to pray, they just didn't know how to pray. And just giving them a little bit of a handle on how to pray, and then occasional reminders, has revolutionized the effectiveness of our ministry.
How often did you give them
the little reminders? I've only given them the sheet one time, which was last spring. Now we'll probably, you know, sometime in the future do it again. But we do, you know, try to remind them through at the prayer chapel is one of the ways we do it. Like we had a high school retreat about 3 weeks ago, and we listed some prayer requests and put a sheet up there about the high school retreat. And we put it up there about a little over a week ahead of time, so they could begin to pray specifically for that retreat and that God would save people through it.
Do you have any kind of a prayer sheet that you give out to the body on a regular basis, if it's a 2959, other than what's happening at the prayer chapel?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Who does that, Peter?
Mm-hmm.
How often does he do that?
It varies. I mean, he's not consistent on that. I'd say, what did you say, Susan? An average of maybe once or twice a quarter, every 3 months.
Gives people some things specifically about the local ministry to be praying for.
Right, right. For instance, we had a sheet that he gave out before he went to Africa, and it told the congregation specifically how to pray for the time that he and Cecil would be in Africa, who would be accompanying them, how they could pray for them, the key church leaders, the three key missionaries in Africa, and you know, how they could pray for that ministry.
Does he mail that to the body, or how does he get
it? He hands it out in the Sunday night service.
In the Sunday night service.
Those are, we found, you know, that's the principal people that will be involved in prayer, is the ones that come on Sunday night. And we use that as our body service, the Sunday night service. And so that's the principal time that he's involved, you know, in handing out the sheets. One of the dangers is that, let me just recommend this to you. The way I came up with these four areas is that I prayed, myself and the youth staff prayed for a period of about 5 months. Susan's giving up. We prayed for a period of about 5 months to determine what the vision was for the youth ministry and what the objectives were. And the request I asked in regard to the youth ministry were in regard to what my objectives are in the youth ministry.
And it's a little simple sheet like this. I don't think you can see it, but has four basic requests. Put a scripture at the top, and then I put in four basic requests. Pray that God would raise up leadership in the home and church to win, develop, and train youth in Brevard County. And I gave them a scripture that they could pray in conjunction with that. Pray for a real harvest of young people in Brevard County who are committed to the Lordship of Christ. I gave them a scripture on that. Pray that God will give a real hunger to grow in the basics of Christian growth to all willing youth in Brevard County. I gave them another scripture. Pray that the youth staff will have wisdom and training faithful youth in Brevard County and beyond to reproduce Christ's life in others. And then I gave them a scripture that related to that particular request. So, that's just something real simple we've done to make people aware of our prayer needs. One of the things I found is that the reason a lot of people don't pray for our ministries, we don't tell them what to pray for. And if you don't learn to establish this in your congregation, make them aware of what your prayer needs are, then you can't ask, you can't expect them to be praying for you. One of the hardest things I have is when people just say, you know, well, I wish you'd pray for me, and they don't ever tell me anything to pray about. I find if I give people specific things to pray about, and they pray specifically, I see God move. And occasionally I'll try to bring that up to date. You know, if I have a youth service, sometime I'll remind them about those sheets, and I might give them something specific they can be praying for the youth that they could write on their sheet. Whenever we do youth services, which is usually about once every 2 months, we have a special youth service. Okay, any other questions about this? All right, let's... Let's put up prayer partners. I think this could be a real good method. One of the effective ways to establish a meaningful corporate prayer life, or group prayer life, is prayer partners. The reason that this is such a good way is because there's power where two or three are gathered together in the name of the Lord. And when there's a duet of prayer before God, it's not only powerful from the spiritual viewpoint, it's also very strengthening to the two people involved. I find my prayer life is much stronger when I pray with someone. The same principle in relation to your marriage, when you pray together, there's an additional power available. I'm not sure all that that means, but I know it's true. And the scripture backs it up. So there's lots of different ways you can form a network of prayer partners within your church. I think the least effective way is by structuring it. I think probably the most effective way is to encourage people involved in common ministries to establish a prayer partnership, which is what we try to do within the youth ministry, people working with the same area. We encourage them to become prayer partners and covenant together for a specific time each week that they come together to pray. One of the things that does is it gives you someone you're accountable to, which is a great aid. If my only motivation to pray is me, the devil seems to come up with 1,000 things, and the flesh comes up with 1,000 reasons why I don't need to be there. But if I'm accountable to another person in my praying, for instance, if I know I'm going to meet Susan at 3 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon to pray for the girls, then I don't. There's a much greater tendency for me to be committed to that prayer time. And partner praying is strong simply from the standpoint that it gets people together and it gives them accountability to one another. So there's great value in partner praying. Okay. Okay, maybe some of you have some other ideas in regard to prayer partners you've used in your situation you think might be helpful. Anybody want to share anything there?
Well,
thing I'm willing, particularly with single people, I found that it's better for people of the same sex to be praying together. Because prayer is a very intimate thing, and sometimes it can be used for something other than what it's supposed to be used for. People are not really talking to God at all. Mm-hmm. We're talking to one another. I've really run into that over the years now. At first, when you explain it to young people, they don't understand. If they've ever been in a situation where they became emotionally involved with one another through prayer, they begin to understand.
Okay. You say least effective is structuring the prayer partners. When you're working with a group of young people, would you not advise them, saying, you know, those who are interested in forming prayer partners, get together or something? What are some practical suggestions on getting them to do that?
Okay. Again, you know, the main way I've used them is through finding something they have in something they have in common that they can pray together about. For instance, say I've got two kids involved in the youth council. Well, I'd encourage them to find a prayer partner involved in youth council so they could pray for some specific needs that they know is coming up in the youth ministry in regard to planning and this type of thing. Maybe I have two kids involved in, say, helping out in Joy Explosion. I'd encourage them to be prayer partners together about Joy Explosion at a specific time. Maybe I've got two youth teachers who are involved in teaching Sunday school. Encouraging them to pray together for their classes and to lift up their classes to the Lord. Those are just a few of the things, you know. I try to find some common bond that they have together. Maybe two young people in the same Sunday school class, and getting them to go to their teacher and ask their teacher for a list of the students so they could pray specifically for them on a weekly basis for their Sunday school class. Lifting up their teacher, people involved, and also praying about the lost people they could bring. You see, those are just a few ways I'd encourage young people to get together. I find that if it's just a general type thing where you arbitrarily pair people together, that's been the least effective I've seen in terms of maintaining the prayer partner. There's a low level of commitment, but if they have something specific, they're coming together to pray for it on a regular basis, it seems to be much more effective in the long run. Alright, does that answer your question, Ben?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, let me go on to this next step, and I'll take some time for questions. Intercessory prayer chapel. This is a place where the people can come together to, or separately, to lift up the needs of the congregation or the church in general. Our church has had a prayer chapel for the last 3 years. And the great value of this is that you can make the church aware of the total needs of the congregation. They can be kept abreast of what's happening. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice. They can be kept abreast of what's happening, and they can know how to pray specifically for the different areas and ministries of the church. For instance, in our prayer chapel, we have prayer notebooks that are similar to this. And each of these prayer notebooks have a label across the top. It says youth ministry, elders, missions, retreat ministry, deacons, there's some other ones I can't think of right now. But those are a few of the areas of our church that we have in terms of prayer requests and prayer needs. Education, we want on the educational program of the church, how to pray for it. book for the lost, one book on healing, an emergency request. We have a book for that. But these are some of the areas that it's a place where people can come together and pray for the body. And I think it's a very valuable asset. Within our prayer chapel, we have prayer closets and also a place where groups can come together and pray. Okay.
Do you have people sign up for hours when they come anytime they want to come?
Ours is anytime they want to come. I think there's value in having a prayer chain. In our particular situation, we don't do that. We found if we did have it at one time, the people became legalistic on it, and they lost the joy, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of their prayer life. Mm-hmm. So we've not made it compulsory. We've encouraged it and tried to
explain the organization of your books, how you keep those up, and the screen request, and have you found any problems? So like praying for the lost, and some guy, you know, finds out his name is there, and somebody comes to say, "Hey, you know, we're praying here," and he resents that. Any kind of a gossipy type thing going on through prayer requests?
No, because we screen them all. We have a prayer request sheet that, if you make a prayer request, you turn it in. And there's a place in the front of the prayer chapel.
You need a mint or something?
I think I need a drink. Excuse me just a second. Now, we have a prayer request sheet that is provided right at the front of the prayer chapel. And on the sheet, there's a place where you write out the request and then what area it goes under, like what notebook you go in. Do we have a secretary who comes through at the end of the day, picks up all the request sheets, filters through them, screens them, types them up into a typewritten page, puts them in the appropriate books before the next morning.
Do you have anything like in the back of the pews where people can turn in prayer requests and in the services? Or
no,
they,
we don't.
They've got to go to the chapel itself to turn in prayer requests.
Right.
How do you screen them? What you say? This sounds like it's
the secretary.
Gossip,
no,
or what?
The secretary screens it.
Yeah. What do you mean?
What's her criteria?
Yeah. If it sounds like gossip or something.
Well, she just uses her own spiritual discernment, and if she's not sure, that's it. She's a Christian. I want to make that clear. If she's not sure, then she asks one of the pastors. Like, I had a youth prayer request a couple of months ago that was derogatory. It was critical. And we didn't put it in the prayer book. She came and asked me. She wasn't sure.
The person does not sign their name to turn in the request.
Yes, they do.
So you could go back to that person and clarify whatever you needed to do.
Right. Mm-hmm. There's a place where they sign their name. Yes.
Do you have an answer prayer book in the chapel? Or they can log answered prayer.
Mm-hmm. We have a, I think they call it a glory to God book, where they write in the answers. And they also write them in the pages.
These books are available there in the prayer chapel.
Mm-hmm.
You just have them out and let them come.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They're at the front.
Specific interest.
Mm-hmm. There's also a church membership role. They can pray through for that too. I didn't mention that earlier.
Do you have any forms with you for samples?
Of the request sheets? No, I'm sorry, I didn't bring those. If you would write, we could send you one. Any of you that want to write, it's 2600 Park Avenue, Titusville, Florida. Okay. Any other questions about that? Did I answer all of yours, Steve? You asked another one, I think. I'm not sure if I covered it. You asked about requests and something else. I'm not positive that I caught it. Yeah, the screening, I think, was it. Yeah.
Probably is there time to go to church Bible pray service, sit in town, except for the traditional, like that.
No, not on a regular basis. Occasionally, the pastor would call a day of prayer and fasting. On a day of prayer. And we'll come together during that time. We had one, excuse me, we had one last year. We prayed from 6 in the morning to 6 at night on Saturday. We had about 600 people that came for a day of prayer and fasting. It was a real exciting time. Really something to see, you know, how the Lord moved through that. Seeking the Lord about, you know, direction for a body. Usually we'd only do that if we were coming together for a specific reason. But we do have those occasionally. But we don't have any regular prayer meeting as such for the, you know, the body as a whole. We try to do that through the the discipleship structure. We have a discipleship structure where we have kind of mini churches, home churches. And in those churches, every week they have a special time of prayer, praying for requests and this type of thing. Personal. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Special prayer burdens
or emphases is another way you could put that. Mm-hmm. Our special periods of prayer. And I just told you about one that we had. We also had one in October of 75. We were getting ready to change the direction of our church, and we had a month of where we canceled all the meetings in our church and just sought the Lord about the direction of our church. And then at the end of the month, we had a day of prayer and fasting. And spent 12 hours in prayer. And as a result of that, we began the discipleship emphasis in our church. So that was a special period of prayer. Once again, I'd stress that family and church prayer can be no stronger than personal prayer. And it'd be real helpful if you would learn to get a handle on your personal prayer life. Now, most of what I've covered with you tonight is in this handout. John, would you look at this?
You'd like to run out and get any more?
Mm-hmm. Please only take one apiece.
Is that the greater address for international intersections? Is that the box? Is this a new one? Is that a lot of
work? What do you have?
Box A.
Yeah, that's right. One thought that I'd like to close with is in regard to a symbol of prayer. Hebrews 10:25. Hebrews says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit of some, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. And this was really true in the New Testament church. The Jerusalem assembly was very small at first, had 120 members. And then I think the second thing we need to realize about that is how powerful it became. 120 members praying. How powerful it became. But remember that it became powerful very suddenly after waiting before God for a long period of time. And the other thing is, as a result, it'll become a large congregation. 3,120 in a single day. So, remember that a simple prayer is not a firecracker. It's like an atom bomb. And the power of a simple prayer is not just addition, it's multiplication. In other words, it's not one plus 120 by ones. It's one times 120. You know, each time it multiplies. It's not the normal thought about prayer. Well, where there's two of us, we have twice as much power. No, where there's two of you, probably have four times as much power. And prayer, a simple prayer, the power multiplies. It's like an atom bomb when they begin to fuse. The power just goes everywhere. And that's the power of a simple prayer. And I think the New Testament church had a great handle on that. They spent many times, they had an hour of prayer every day, apparently, in the New Testament church, where they came together for a simple prayer. I think one of the great examples of this today is the church in Korea. And a lot of people wonder how come the church in Korea is exploding today. Talked just recently, or met a guy who's pastor of the largest church in the world in Korea. 47,000 members, 120 home churches. Oh, it's more than that, I forget. It's some phenomenal number. 2,500, that's it. And he says one of the big secrets of what God is doing in Korea today is the prayer life of the people. They come together at 4 a.m. every morning for prayer meetings every day of the week, 7 days a week. And they pray from 4 to 6 before they go to work. Assembled prayer meetings from 4 to 6 a.m. And they're seeing people saved daily into their fellowships. Usually, every member of the congregation spends at least one night a week on the mountain of prayer, all night long, praying for the Korean nation, for the body there, and for individual people that are lost to come to Christ. And they're seeing phenomenal things happen in Korea today. And he attributes a big part of that to the strength of the praying that's going on there. So we've only just begun. You know, when our people get desperate and want to really see God move, we'll know it by the way they pray. I've talked about revival for a long time, but I know the men that I've seen that have had the privilege of seeing revival are men who spent many, many hours on their knees. So I can't stress the importance not only of establishing a prayer ministry in your church, but of building your own personal prayer life to where you touch the heart of God. And when we learn to do that as an assembly, God's going to do miraculous things. And we will see those great mighty things that we know not of. And that's my prayer. I hope this this seminar just begins to give you a little taste of vision of what prayer can do. And remember that that single prayer is only as valuable as personal prayer. So motivate people to pray personally and to strengthen their walk with God. And when they assemble, God will begin to move in great ways. Let's close with prayer. Steve, would you lead us?
Father, I confess to you, and I feel such a weight in this. And yet, Father, I really bear witness to everything that all you said. And I confess that there's a hunger in my heart to know what it's like to join forces with a nucleus of brothers and sisters who are really committed to you and are hungry after you and are desperate before you. And have a burden for a lost world in their hearts. And Father, I pray that you give us wisdom as we seek to apply these things. Father, that you keep us out of ditches. Mm-hmm. That you protect us, Lord God, even from our own ignorance. Mm-hmm. And that, Jesus, you give us the sensitivity and the wisdom of working with people, that we would be gentle and reflect your very patient nature, even as you've been so gentle and patient with us.
Yes.
God, I pray that you give us a real hunger for your word, that we can stand upon your word and pray with authority and believe you, God. And I pray that by your Holy Spirit, that you would take blinders from our eyes and the eyes of our people, that we can see more clearly your divine plan.
Yes.
And as a body of believers, and as local bodies of believers, that we would know what it's like praying in accordance to your plan, praying in the name of Jesus, praying corporately with authority, to see your hand move and the supernatural become the absolutely normal. God, I tell you, I really want to be a part of that. And I'm asking you, blessed Holy Spirit, to fulfill your ministry of teaching and guiding in the truth. And I praise you for your faithfulness. And I trust you to use our lives to guide our people. And even in our own lives, to go so much deeper in this ministry of grabbing hold of heaven and seeing your power released.
Yes.
Praise you.
Mm-hmm.
We love you tonight. We trust you. And ask you, Lord Jesus, just to prepare our hearts and that we individually would really be open to what Miles has to say.
Yes.
Father, I ask you to speak to my heart tonight. Lord, just convict me of areas that are weak. I just want to open myself to you and ask you to take me deeper than I've ever been. I pray this in Jesus' name.